Hi, it's Mac. It's McColgan here in Audio Boo. Back home. Well, I actually got back home last evening. Or late afternoon, really. Early evening. And had a great weekend. We I suppose I should explain, went on a wee holiday, didn't we? It was just a wee break with family, adult family, wife's direct relations. So, five of us down in the Volvo tank, down to, actually to Berwick upon Tweed, but actually across the estuary. And the Tweed isn't really a big river, to be honest with you, so it's, I'm not quite sure when at high tide or when the river's full, probably about a third of a mile, something like that, across the estuary. Maybe going on half, actually. Anyway, it was a hotel called the Rob Roy, and it's in a little area called, I dropped a receipt, I didn't, called Tweedmouth. Makes sense, doesn't it? It's the mouth of the Tweed, and that wee area is called Tweedmouth. But Tweedmouth faces across the river estuary to the old and beautiful historic town of Berwick. That's Berwick, Berwick, if you like. Berwick upon Tweed. So, both are aptly named, of course. And we were in the Rob Roy. Now, the Rob Roy is a beautiful hotel. It's only got five rooms now. They've done away with a couple. The couple that were running it, Linda and Ian, they were finding it was getting a bit too much with the extra rooms, so they just closed them off and limit themselves to five rooms now. But anyway, it's the first time we stayed there, but we have dropped in on occasion for a drink in the evening. All five of us, when we've been down that area in Northumberland. It is in Northumberland, in England. But this is the first time we stayed. We wanted to give it a try. Have to say, we will be back. Beautiful accommodation. Beautiful decor. Just subtle decor. All over the place. Nice and cosy, friendly, quiet. Food was excellent, and we just had a great weekend. All too short, I'm afraid. But anyway, and we had the front room, the one front room that faces across the river. Oh, it's getting a bit windy now. It wasn't windy when I started this. Apologies for wind noise. I haven't got anything on my lugs to protect here. But it's only a small window, because what most people will know, that because it is an older building, that they didn't put big windows in facing the coast or the sea or estuaries. They didn't put big windows in there because of the heat loss. And this is a listed building, so they can't change the single glazed sash windows to double glazed, etc. It has to remain the way it is. But it's just a small window, but it allowed me to open the sash and look over the estuary towards Berwick and listen to the seabirds and watch the swans go up and down. Berwick used to be pretty famous, actually, for swans. When we first started going down there, I don't know what's happened, but when we first started going down there, there were hundreds upon hundreds of swans up and down the especially the estuary area, you know, upriver probably for about a mile, but towards the actual estuary, towards the mouth, there have been hundreds of these swans. I think I counted about five or six in total this time around, which is very, very strange. And I've noticed that over the years that the numbers have been dwindling, but that's the least I have ever seen. We did see a seal who had rested himself or herself on a rock as the tide was going down so that it could lie and sunbathe in the sun until the tide came back in and lifted it off the rock again. Because that's what seals do, if you didn't already know that. And they always lie on their side. Seals always lie on their side. Another bit of information. But yeah, it was great. And being in an area that we know so well, in fact, myself and my wife have been doing this area for over 30 years, only in the past 4 or 5 years have we taken the family members down on occasion. They don't do things like that. If it wasn't, or it weren't, or if it wasn't for us, they'd probably never go anywhere, apart from possibly a holiday abroad, and my wife's bachelor brother would never get anywhere, in fact, if she didn't organise it. But anyway, so we were kind of introduced them to Northumberland the way back, and they absolutely love it now. So, good weekend. We done the usual runs towards the Cheviots to Wooler Market Town. It's well known as Wooler. And then down to Alnwick, most beautiful historic town, one of the nicest castles in the country. And when I say the country, I mean the UK, one of the nicest castles in the UK. I haven't done all the castles, of course, but I have to say, have to be pretty damn good to beat Alnwick. And then from there over to the coast to Craster, tiny wee fishing village, but they have a smoke room, and they had a pub called the Jolly Fisherman. It's still there, but what happened was it was getting a bit run down, and last year, or between 2 years ago and last year, it came into new ownership, and the old pub was nice. It was almost like going into, it's quite big inside actually. It was almost like going in, stepping back in time because of the decor and the old beams and the smoke-coloured walls, as it were, from open fires, log fires, and the years probably when people smoked. So it was in bad need of a wee bit of restoration, but apparently this family took it on, transformed it into a modern eatery, and do you know, we were lucky to get a seat. Honest to God, I've never seen so many people in a restaurant. It's called a bar, but it's not. It's a bar restaurant. That's the modern technology, or terminology, I should say, for it. And these people, we were in it last year, but this year, my God, I have never seen anywhere in my life, I don't think, that has transformed, or has been transformed virtually overnight, if you like, from a dying, oldy, worldy pub to where you probably have to book up for a meal. It was crazy. It was to the extent of being crazy. And we were very, very fortunate that a family had just left one of the tables for us to get one. Otherwise, we had to stood and wait for ages to get a seat. But all kudos to the people that's transformed this place. And the food, they have transformed the food. Oh, most of the food going out on about inch thick wooden platters. And with mostly seafood as well, which is fantastic. And wee dishes of this, that, and the next thing. And inch thick crusty bread, and oh my goodness. Yes, I think they'll win an award, absolutely. They should win an award for the transformation, but I think they'll win an award for the cuisine and the service and just the decor, because they modernised the decor and produced big glass windows for us to look out to the sea. A good job, by the way, they're all double glazed because it was very, very rough. That was a Saturday when the weather wasn't too hot. Surf was coming in about 7 or 8 foot waves, but everyone was sitting sheltered behind all this lovely glass. But yeah, fantastic place. So anyway, I won't go into details of everything we did because it would be very long-winded and probably bore you to death if you're still there. Taking a wee tour in Northumberland, I could. But one thing I wanted to talk about, I'd taken my recording device with me. I always do. In fact, I take it everywhere with me. But I didn't get an opportunity, really, to go and record the sounds, even of the estuary early in the morning. Sunday morning was the most beautiful sunrise I saw coming in the window, as the tide was half in, half out, just breaking over the sandbanks. The sun was coming up, and oh my God, I got a couple of photographs of that. And I hoped to go down with the recorder and capture the early morning sounds, but unfortunately there was cars already on the go, so it just destroyed the whole ambience of things. So I never really got a chance to record anything. But what I want to tell you a wee story just about We drove from the Rob Roy only because my brother-in-law, that's my wife's sister's man, not her bachelor brother, he's a truck driver, and he has developed, like all truck drivers do or most do, terribly painful knees and joints. He's still working, but he's as bandy-legged as any get out. I mean, he's like some guy that's lost his horse, and he has great difficulty and great pain in his knees, so he can't walk for distances. It kills him. He's got to keep stopping. Apart from the fact he needs to lose about 5 stone. Well, there you go. But that'll never happen now. So anyway, I drove them along to what they call the Spit off Spittle, which is just along the road. It's literally about half a mile, 3/4 of a mile from the Rob Roy. And Tweedmouth runs into Spittle. And I said, what we'll do is we'll park the car at this end, that's the north end, and we'll walk along the prom, because they do have a beautiful prom. It's a quiet place, but they do have a wonderful prom. And we'll walk along the prom and back. This was after our dinner on the Saturday night in the roadway. So I parked the car up, and they all started to walk away. And I thought, I'll try and grab a bit of recording, and I got the device set up, and I put the windsock on. Not on me, but on the device. And I went to start recording, and a diesel van drew in with his chips, him and his mate, and didn't shut the engine off. So I thought, oh my God, I was doing a Victor Meldrew, don't believe it. I really didn't believe it, to be honest with you. It was peace and quiet. There was people sitting there in their cars with their windows down, just enjoying the view, or maybe a quiet chip or something. And the diesel engine was thumping away. Oh, and I thought, God, I can't record this. So anyway, I packed it. It's not that long-winded, this story, by the way, so don't run away. I packed the device back in my pocket. I sod it, I won't bother now. So I walked along, and to catch up with them, they were well ahead of me by this time. There's over a kind of rise of the prom, there's a grassy knoll with some benches on it. And there was a guy sitting on this bench. And in all honesty, as I approached him, I thought, he's a man of the road. Some people call them tramps, I never call them tramps. I thought this is one of these guys, this is, you know, a man of the road. Because he had one of these big bags, you know, I think it's Sports Direct bag, these big giant tote bag things. And he was sitting with an old skip hat in his head. And as I approached, I noticed that the skip hat was tied on around his chin with a bit of old string. I thought, he definitely has anyway. So as I passed, I thought I wouldn't be ignorant, because he had a camera hanging around his neck. And so I just said, hi, how you doing? Doing grand, he says. I says, what are you up to? I'm watching the dolphins. I says, you got dolphins here? Oh yeah, he said. But I'm not going to try and copy the Geordie accent, because some people like Sarah, although she's strictly speaking not a Geordie, but has a great accent. Who is that? Sarah, by the way. Richard Hubbock, who is at all one word. Hi, Danny. No off the accent on that area. And I'm not going to try and mimic wee island. He had a lovely rich accent, although strictly speaking, that's not Geordie up there, but he just had a beautiful northeast England accent. And he started to tell me about the dolphins, how people don't even know they're there, the locals don't even know they're there. He said, if you sit long enough and watch, you'll see them coming out and spin. He got his wallet out, and he had taken his photographs from all around that area, higher up in the ground by the railway, etc. And what he'd done is he'd got scissors and cut the actual pieces that had the dolphins in them, so he could get them into his wallet. And he had hundreds. And he explained how they spin when they come out of the water, and he showed me several photographs, and he was like, this one was at this time, and the year and that. And he went on to tell me about that, and then he told us, we saw a seal last night. He started to tell me about the seals. And he says, did it have spots on it? I says, I think it did have spots. He says, do you know what one that is? I says, no, I'm not sure. Is it a common seal? He says, no, it's a leopard seal. All right, he says, and we tend to get the common and the leopard here. Now, was that up by the old bridge yet? Yeah, that was the old bridge. Well, and then he started to tell me about the bridges. Now, there's three bridges in Berwick-upon-Tweed. They all cross the river within a short distance of each other. And there's the railway bridge, which was built by Stevenson. I actually thought it was Telford, but it was Stevenson that built it. And he says, that one, and he told me when it was built, and he told me it had 28 arches. Then he says, the main road bridge that crosses across was built by so-and-so, and it has, oh, I think it's about 4 or 5 arches or something, and its height. And then they told me about the old bridge, which was the original bridge, which is very low down to the river level. It's now a one-way for traffic because it's so damn narrow. And he told me all about that and its history. And then he told me about the frost and how in 2003, when that was a big freeze here in this country, apparently, I couldn't remember it, he told me that the river froze at the estuary. And he says that the swans couldn't get into the water, they had to stay on the banking or go out to sea, and they don't go out to sea because it's salt water and they don't like the waves anyway. And he said we couldn't see the seals because they couldn't come in, and blah blah blah. And he told me about it. He says, and then when it thawed, he says the ice broke up. He says, and they floated out to sea just like icebergs, and told me about how a seventh of an iceberg is below the water, which I did actually know, by the way. But he told me so many facts. Now, I did say it wasn't long-winded, but is it? I'm getting to the end, so hang on in there if you're still there. I thanked him for being so damn informative and so friendly, and all the facts he had given me. And he told me it was no problem, and any time I wanted to come down, if he was there, come up and sit with him, and he would tell me more. I thought, well, I wouldn't let a guy down, so I says, well, I'll do that. I'm here again, and I say, I'll watch out for you, my friend, and I'll come and talk to you again. And I think he was just so delighted that someone actually stopped and spoke to him, as opposed to just give him a wide berth, as it were. And I was fascinated by this old skip hat tied on with string around his chin. But anyway, I turned round and I'd lost the whole family because they had kept walking. I know that they'd have turned round to see where I was and probably see me standing talking to this guy. When I, what? Oh, there he is. He stopped to talk to someone again. He's a bloody blether. Well, I am, I bet you a blether. You probably know that already. But I lost him completely, and that prom's about a mile long. So I started walking towards him and spotted him coming back. So I thought, I haven't lost him after all. Oh, bad luck. But I didn't get my walk, because by the time I had realised they were on their way back, I just stood and put my arms on the railings and watched the surf come in. And they caught up with me. So I didn't get my walk, but I did come back with a mile of information, education from... I'm still pretty convinced if he's not a man of the road, then he's a man of little means, and probably that's his whole life. Apparently he's a bit of a train spotter as well, he told me. Although I don't see much in train spotting nowadays, it's usually, on that line, it's usually Virgin Atlantic rail trains flying down at 125, because that's what we used to call them, the 125s. So I'm not quite sure they're as pretty as steam engines, but there you go. So a chance meeting. It was great. So there you go. I could tell you more, but I'm approaching the big road. You've probably already realised that. And it just gets horrendous from this point on. So, cheer by the noot. Wee I bet. Canny man.